As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake Doctor's Orders. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Despite 20 years of no playoffs for the Jays, there's still a bright side. Right, Jeff Blair?
So it's official. The Kansas City Royals, well, they're in the playoffs, and that means the Toronto Blue Jays now have the longest active postseason drought in Major League Baseball. As Sportsnet's Shai Davidi remarked Sunday night when the local baseball writers got together to toast the 2014 season, playoff-free since 93. Sounds like a marketing motto. Unless something dramatic happens when general manager Alex Anthopoulos meets with John Gibbons and his own staff this week, it can be expected that most everybody from the coaching staff will be back, with the likely exception of bullpen coach Bob Stanley. The Blue Jays would very much like to add Pat Henkin back to the staff. He was sorely missed while attending to a family matter. And for some in the front office, as a manager in waiting, and try to figure out a way to keep Rick Langford engaged with the young starting pitchers. Anthopoulos told us yesterday the core of the team will most likely remain intact, an indication of how far Colby Rasmus has fallen. He's not even considered to be part of the core. You know the imminent departures by now. Rasmus, Melky Cabrera, Casey Jansen, and likely Brandon Morrow. You know the needs. Bullpen, second base, and at least one outfielder. And you know the Blue Jays will hold firm to a five-year limit on contracts, which, well, effectively takes them out of the market for the few high-end free agents out there. Mike Wilner and Shai Davidi are going to join me for an hour-long roundtable at 10 o'clock. So we're going to do away with our usual first-hour guest and turn the phone lines over to you. One word to describe how you feel about the 2014 season, and your choice of words to describe where the Blue Jays are in relation to a playoff spot next year. Are they closer than last season, or are they farther away?
The Jeff Blair Show is on the air on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Join the conversation with Jeff on Twitter using the hashtag Blair Show, or call 416-870-0590. Now, here's Jeff Blair.
So the playoffs will start on Sportsnet without the Blue Jays. Of course, you've known that for a while, haven't you? And Alex Anthopoulos was optimistic, maybe even unusually optimistic in his post-mortem yesterday. He's kind of been that way for the past week, talking about how excited he is about the offseason and how he's got flexibility. I mean, it's all the things you expect from a general manager whose team didn't make the playoffs. You know what kind of surprised me a little bit? And I went back and read the 9,000-word transcript of Alex Anthopoulos' postmortem yesterday. 9,000 words. It's like a court case. Anyhow, what kind of surprised me is the fact that Alex Anthopoulos actually thought going into the season that this was a playoff team. And maybe he's just saying that because he's the general manager of the team. It's entirely possible. But I don't know too many people who thought this was a playoff team going into the start of the season. Alex Anthopoulos has a lot of faith in the core of this team, but he's also aware that he has to make some pretty significant offseason acquisitions. The bullpen has to effectively be reworked, and I'm still not convinced, as I wrote in my item on sportsnet.ca. I'm still not entirely unconvinced that we're not going to see Aaron Sanchez closing next year, because here's how I see it working out. I think the Jays are going to go out and trade for a couple of bullpen arms and sign a couple of bullpen arms, and they're going to bring him into spring training. And I just think at the end of spring training, they're going to take a look at what they have and go, where are we better off? And that's just my gut call on Aaron Sanchez. But Alex realizes he's going to have to add at least one more outfielder. I don't think anybody wants to see both Kevin Pillar and Anthony Gose in the outfield next year, including Alex Anthopoulos. Alex was very open yesterday, more open than I have ever heard him, about the possibility of Brett Laurie eventually moving to second base. He talked about how if there was a third baseman on the market that he felt would make the Blue Jays better, he would talk to Brett Laurie about moving to second base. In other words, if there was a third baseman in the market whose addition to the team would precipitate the move of Brett Laurie to second but would make the team better, he would have that conversation with Brett Laurie. He was very open about that, which made me think that Alex Anthopoulos must think that there's a better chance of adding a third baseman than a second baseman in the trademark. And I still think Brett Laurie's position ultimately with this team is going to be second base anyhow. So there was a lot to take away from Alex's statements, from Alex's comments yesterday. There wasn't, I think, there wasn't sort of the wholesale falling on the sword that a lot of fans wanted. There was no criticism of the manager. A lot of fans wanted that. What criticism there was chiefly at the bullpen, and that's fair. We all thought the bullpen was a strength, not just us. Baseball thought the bullpen was a Blue Jay strength going into the year. So you've probably heard all that now from Alex Anthopoulos. I want to hear what you think right now. One word to describe the season, and is this Blue Jays team, do you think it's closer to the playoffs now than last year's team was? I've been very clear. I'm a hell of a lot more optimistic right now than I was last year. Aaron Sanchez, Marcus Stroman, Drew Hutchison, those are the guys that give me hope. And I know that you're setting yourself up for disappointment when you put a lot of faith and a lot of hope in young starting pitchers. But you know what? It's what every other organization does, every other successful organization. And the Blue Jays are finally in that position where they can do that. 416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590. My Twitter handle is SNJeffBlair. You can join the conversation. Use the hashtag BlairShow. Bob in Toronto. You're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hi, Jeff. Great show. As far as this season, I would say that, you know, we were in first place for almost 2 months of the year. So that was a real surprise and a positive. Obviously, it was disappointing to kind of the way we played in August and kind of fall out of the whole thing and not make the playoffs. So, I mean, I would say this year was a bit of a surprise to the upside. As far as Anthopoulos, I think it's the same slop we heard last year, him rhyming this, that, and the other thing. I don't think it means a hell of a lot. I think this comes down to ownership and whether they want to be successful or not, which comes down to, and I've been a bit surprised at the reaction even from you about basically giving up that we're not going to be able to sign Melky Cabrera. Because I've got season tickets. If we don't sign Melky.
Here's the thing. Giving up, I'll tell you why I've given up, because I don't think Melky wants to sign here. It's got nothing to do with how much money he's offered, frankly, or how many years he gets. I don't think anybody's going to give Melky 5 years. He just doesn't want to sign. He doesn't want to sign here. He doesn't want to play in artificial turf. I don't blame Melky Cabrera's decision to leave in management at all. Not at all. What I would like to have seen them, and where I will blame them, is if they didn't make a full court press to get Melky Cabrera signed during the season. And we don't know that. We don't know whether or not they did. I've got to think there was at some point a discussion between Peter Greenberg or Chris Leibel and Alex Anthopoulos about Melky Cabrera. I mean, Peter's been in town a couple of times. He and Alex, you know, are fairly close. I mean, as close as an agent and player gets. This is the thing. Melky Cabrera not signing here is going to have nothing to do with how proactive Jay's ownership is in signing him right now.
One question. I mean, do you think, say, whoever it is, some team A offers Melky a 5-year at $17 million a year for 5 years?
Yep.
Okay. I mean, you don't think if the Jays match that or beat it by $1 million that Melky would come back here?
Nope.
Okay, you plain think he just doesn't want to come back here.
Well, I think here's the thing. I think Melky looks at the last 2 years and figures. I mean, Melky figures he was underpaid the past 2 years. And yes, he knows that he, you know, was suspended for PED use and all that. He knows the situation. But Melky figures he's got to make up some money that he lost the last 2 years. I mean, if I'm going to blame ownership for anything with Melky Cabrera, or if I'm going to blame Alex for anything with Melky Cabrera, it's that the deal isn't done yet. And we just don't know if there was a discussion and Melky's people said no, or if there was a discussion and Melky's people said, let's wait till the end of the year, or if there was no discussion at all. I mean, we just don't know that. But I honestly don't think that Melky Cabrera re-signs here to play again an artificial turf if he gets a similar offer someplace else. I just don't. And Melky's had the type of year where people are going to offer him good money. I think things have changed when it comes to PED guys. Nelson Cruz has had a tremendous year for the Baltimore Orioles. If I'm not mistaken, the Baltimore writers voted him their MVP. Johnny Peralta has played well for St. Louis. You know, this idea, and it was going to happen eventually, this idea that once you fail a steroid test or once you fail a PED test, you're gone from the game forever and ever and ever. That's not the case. Teams are looking at guys like Peralta, Cruz, and Melky Cabrera right now and going, well. The other thing to keep in mind is Melky's young, relatively young compared to Nelson Cruz and Johnny Peralta. I just think he's going to have too many options to re-sign here. I could be wrong. I hope I'm wrong. But again, I've been very clear. I've been the one saying for how long that I would have had this guy signed by the All-Star break. I would have treated Melky the way I treated Edwin Encarnacion. And I would have made that commitment. And I would have said to him then, 5 years, okay, I'm in. We'll do a 5-year deal. That's me, though. Dion and Kitchener, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing well.
You had asked for kind of like one word. I thought it was one word that kind of described the Jays this year or their season, and what I would have said was relevant. I mean, I'm going to call myself a fringe baseball fan, and I was listening to Jays talk all the time. I was engaged. I was like, oh, these guys have a chance all the way up until like the last 3 weeks of the season, and that's what you want. I'm more optimistic about the team. I mean, I actually would have taken my family. I got three kids. I would have taken my family to a few games this year, but I wasn't spending 4 hours in the car trying to get down to the stadium and back home. It's just, with all the construction, was a nightmare.
I agree. Believe me, I live in Hamilton. I agree totally. I agree totally. And you know what? And that's one story. People are going to look at the Jays' attendance this year, and attendance is down, and it's down by about 3 or 4 sellouts. I really think the construction had a lot to do with it, as well as the play of the team.
I think they would have had an increase in attendance if it wasn't for that this year. I really do. But, you know, be that as it may, in terms of next year, I watch Discovery on TV all the time. Sorry to plug a different station, but that program about sinkhole. And last year,
I think we were going towards the show on sinkholes. Hopefully this show won't turn into a sinkhole. Right, Travis? Andrew Toms on Twitter. Hard to be truly upset. This team exceeded most people's expectations. Building on it is possible. Andrew, I was one of those people saying this team was going to finish fourth or fifth. They did exceed my expectations. I admit, in May, they'd exceeded it so much that I started to think about this team possibly contending for a wild card spot. Mr. Miley, stop saying it's ownership. AA has the top 8 payroll in the league. I think it's around 10th, but your point is well taken. It's a point Bob McCowan's been making for a while. The question may not be how much money is available to Alex Anthopoulos. The question might be how has he used it. Mr. Miley, again, why is it okay to be mediocre over and over? Why are you fine with AA when he's failed year after year? Stop making excuses. I'm fine with him because I think he has done, and it's taken him a while to do it, but I think he has done what he said he was going to do. He's put this organization in a position where it's got some young players, some of its own players. And I'm also fine with Alex because, I said, take a look around. General managers don't often get fired. This year's been an outlier with Kevin Towers and Josh Burns and Frank Wren. Now look at the numbers. General managers don't get fired that much anymore. That's just the way it is. Dayton Moore in Kansas City's been there longer than Alex, I think, or at least close to the time Alex has been there. He's been rumored to be fired at least three times. He's still there. General managers don't get fired as much as they used to. Pat Natobico, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Well, my word for the 2014 season would be disgusting. And that's the only word I could think of. There were eight other teams in the American League that won more games than the Blue Jays did. Eight.
Mm-hmm.
This is a 500 ball team, period.
That's what I thought they'd be, though, at the start of the year,
well,
didn't you?
Whatever you thought they'd be, that's great.
But now, you didn't? You thought they were better than 500?
Well, you look at May, how could you not think so?
Okay, all right.
I mean, come on.
What about August?
And what about August? Thanks, Alex. That's Alex for August. July 31st went, he did nothing. Nobody told him or said he had to sell the farm here or give up young talent. But the Yankees picked up a second baseman that had 40 RBIs and 8 homers since the trade deadline.
Mm-hmm.
The Jays could have picked up somebody like that. And there's nobody can tell me that they couldn't have done it, because they could have, without giving up the young kids. This team, this ownership, to me, does not want to win. They brought in 2.4 million people this year into this. They got a 7, 8, and 9 hitters that shouldn't be on a major league roster. So I don't blame the bullpen. I don't blame the pitching. I don't blame this team. I blame ownership. And that starts with Beeston and Alex. And I think it's time for them to take a hike down the road.
Appreciate the call, Pat. 416-870-0590. It's not happening, by the way, Pat, but thanks. 416-870-0590, star 591, 888-666-0590. I keep hearing that Beeston's basically agreed to come back. No one will say anything. But there are a lot of reports out there that Beeston might be back. It seems now as if everybody will be back intact. Tom in Waterloo, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Morning, Jeff.
Morning.
Positive, Jeff, because just how long has it been since we've had so many young kids, so many young arms coming up, you know, whether they're, you know, drafted, et cetera, it takes a long time. And unfortunately, people don't want to wait that long time sometimes. But I believe that these kids are almost here, and their arms, too. They're young arms, and they're strong arms. And I just see a positive from that. And, you know, Alex only has $30 million on the table for 17, so he's got to move there, too.
Yeah.
Or 16, I'm sorry, 16.
Yeah, he does have a little bit of room to move.
Oh, yeah, but he doesn't owe money down the road. I don't know. I don't want to get into all that. We can beat everything to death. But how many times did Reyes, Cabrera, Bautista, and Carcion, Lind, Navarro, and Laurie get on the field together this year?
I don't know.
I heard it on one of Mike's shows. You know, I started to look it up, but I gave up on it. But, yeah, they're seven or they're whatever. I'm not sure they played too often together this year.
Well, I'll tell you what. In the past 2 years, how often have Brett Laurie and Jose Reyes been in the field together? I mean, they didn't get in the field together last year, I think, till middle July. So, yeah, that's an issue. That's one thing that really concerns me out of this year, that maybe didn't get enough attention. And that's Brett Laurie. You know, Alex said yesterday that they're studying ways to keep him healthier. They're focusing on his off-season routine. They're worried about his oblique injuries. I mean, there are injuries, broken hands, you know, twisted ankles. You can't do anything about that. But it's some of the sort of accidental injuries, if you want to call them that, that they're trying to control or trying to get a handle on. And that's a story that I just don't think was really talked about enough this year is, you know, can you trust Brett Laurie? What can you pencil him in for? You know, I would think you almost have to go into next season with a really good backup infielder, a guy who can play, God, short, third, second, whatever. Because those two guys in Reyes and Laurie are going to be beaten up. I think as long as you have Brett Laurie in the team, you have to have a plan B. And plan B can't be Munenori Kawasaki. It might be Ryan Goins if he could ever hit even a shade. It might be Ryan Goins, but it can't be Munenori Kawasaki, and I don't think it could be Mycerus Turris either. You have to do a little better than that. 416-870-0590, star 591, 888-666-0590. Give me a word to describe your feelings on the 2014 season, the just concluded 2014 season. And are they closer to the playoffs this year than they were last year? Brandon in Toronto, you're in Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Thank you, Jeff. A great show as always. And my one word would be confused.
Mm-hmm.
Because at some times I thought this team, they were good. They could do it all and they would be in the playoffs, no problem. Then sometimes I think, wow, this team really sucks and how the hell are we even in the race?
Mm-hmm.
And for your next stop, if they're closer to the playoffs, with Smokey Cabrera, I say yes. Without him, I say there's no chance, and you might want to look at exploding this thing because that's how important I think Melky is to this team.
You know what? Thanks for the call, Brandon. It is fascinating and in some ways scary how much the fan base. And when I say the fan base, I know that bothers people sometimes, but you know, I like to think that I kind of have a bit of a handle on what the fan base is feeling as much as you can. It's almost scary how much currency Melky Cabrera has with this fan base. Honestly, we get people all the time who call up and, well, if this doesn't get done, I'm not going to renew my season's tickets. We get it with the Leafs as well, and I just roll my eyes because everybody renews Leafs season's tickets. But I'm trying to think. Now, I've done this since 2000. Jesus. Anyhow, no, not since 2000. Travis, how long have I done this since? I've been in Toronto since 2000. Same thing. Toronto since 2000. We'll say that. I'm trying to remember the last time that the Blue Jays had a player that fans used as a barometer of their intention to buy tickets or renew tickets. I mean, Roy Halladay, yeah, but I think people understood what was happening with Roy Halladay. I think there was a sense that Roy Halladay had to go on, felt he had to go on to win a World Series or at least get a shot at the World Series. There was just a sense that he'd had a lot of good years in Toronto and the team wasn't winning, and fans, I think, made peace with that. But you know what I think the difference is with Melky Cabrera? Here's a shot in the dark that worked. Just as Jose Bautista worked. Just as Edwin Encarnacion worked. Here's a shot in the dark that worked. A career that was revived in Toronto. Just like Jose's career. Just like Edwin's career. Torontonians like that. I think baseball fans in general like that. And now it appears as if Melky Cabrera is going to move on. And I think for a lot of fans, their thinking is, all right, you're telling us that we can't contend for the high-end free agents because we have a five-year cap and because we have artificial turf. Okay, I'll buy that. But now you're telling us that we can't contend for retreads whose career we've helped revitalize? There's an aspect of that here, too. But honestly, I don't remember a Blue Jays player that has been as much of a barometer for fan intentions as Melky Cabrera has been. I mean, I could be forgetting somebody, but when Delgado left, there was a time to move on. And when Roy Halladay left, there was a time to move on as well. Sean and Coburg, you're in Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
JB, how you doing?
I'm living the dream.
Okay, good for you. Hey, my word for you, Jeff, is change.
Mm-hmm.
Change, not just in the lineup or the management, but change as in dollars and cents. I said a long time ago, like once, for the money that the budget of the Blue Jays, you should be able to put a baseball team together, Jeff. And the question I'd like to, you know, when you mentioned something about Melky, like back by the All-Star break, I'd love to know the answer to that question.
I would too. And you know what? All I can tell you is, I mean, I've got a pretty good relationship with his agent. I've known Peter going back to when I was covering the Expos and Ugueter Bina was getting in trouble for stuff. He's a guy that I always seek out at the winter meetings and things like that. I just don't have a read on it. I don't have a read on whether there was any significant discussion. I do know this. I've been told that there was discussion with Casey Jansen about a contract around the All-Star break, and that got nowhere. And that would make me think that if there was a discussion with Casey Jansen, you would have to think that on some level there was a discussion about Melky Cabrera. But that's just me sort of hypothesizing.
Jeff, wouldn't you at least, while you had exclusive rights, at least made an offer? What's the worst thing I could
do? Oh, hell, I would. Sean, I would have.
I mean,
yeah, I would have signed him. I mean, I would have said 5 years. You know, if you want 5 years and $17 million, $16 million, whatever, I'd do it. I would do it because, to me, if you can't keep the faith with guys like Melky Cabrera, what the hell, why are you in the business?
That's a good question. You know what, too, Jeff? He fits in the locker great. He's great at bat. I don't know if he's underrated in the outfield or not, but he plays a pretty decent.
He does. Yes, he does.
Here's the other thing, Jeff.
Yes.
All these guys calling for, you know, Anthopoulos' head, it's not ownership problem. If you got $135, $140 million, I know you said there's some money to be had, but I want this guy to clean up his own mess. That's what I want. He's got a year left, right?
Yeah. Oh, Sean, that's a good point. I mean, and anytime anybody at this station makes it, you know, you automatically get, I mean, I listened to McCowan on Friday, and you automatically get hammered as a Roger shill. But the fact of the matter is, it's top 10 payroll. I mean, would I like to see more money? Hell yeah. I'm a baseball fan. I'd love to see this team with the biggest payroll in baseball, but that's not going to happen. Not when you're owned by a publicly traded company. It's just not. And even when you're not, when you're owned by private ownership in this day and age, it's just it won't happen in Toronto. And keep an eye on the Canadian dollar, by the way, over the next year. So I think there's an element of truth to that. Has Alex done as good a job as he could have managing the payroll? I think the answer is no. I think the answer is no. He has a chance to address some of that this year by shedding some contracts. But I keep reminding you of what J.P. Ricciardi used to always say about dealing with this ownership. I used to ask him all the time. Now, granted, he never had the money. He never had the money that Alex has. But I used to ask him, how would you go about asking this ownership for more money? And would you feel comfortable doing it? And his answer was always the same. Absolutely, I'd feel comfortable about doing it once. But I wouldn't go back again and again. And his point was the money's there, but it's when you ask for it and how you ask for it. Now, I'm just telling you that that's from a guy who was the GM here, and things do change. A guy who I know pretty well, and a guy who's been pretty, when it comes to things like that, has been pretty truthful with me. I have no reason to doubt that. I don't think you can go back and back and back and back and back and back and ask for more money. But I do think there's some money there. 416-870-0590, star 591, 888-666-0590. Lots of people weighing in on Twitter. I will get to your tweets. I'll get to your calls. This is the Jeff Blair Show, and this is Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590, The Fan on demand. Now more of the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
The perception out there is that we've got a roster full of really talented players, that Toronto's an unbelievable place to play, that we're close, and that we have a healthy payroll and great commitment from ownership.
That is General Manager Alex Anthopoulos speaking yesterday at his year-end post-mortem. When asked about how the hell you're going to sign anybody when you won't give them more than 5 years. And what that says about the perception of Toronto in the market. My concern about Toronto's perception, and this is just based on conversations with visiting coaches, visiting players, just chit-chat. My inclination is that the perception of the Toronto market throughout baseball is a nice place to come and spend a weekend. Shame about the artificial turf. And that's it. I mean, it's true that once guys get here, they like the city. And in the case of guys like Jose Bautista and Carlos Delgado, absolutely embrace the city. But I don't, you know, with respect to Alex, I don't think that the positives outweigh the negatives. And the negatives are no playoffs, artificial turf. Now, artificial turf is more and more of an issue because guys are playing longer. Their careers are longer. They're making more money longer. Guys are businessmen. And one of the decisions, one of the elements in your decision making is where can I go where I'm going to be the healthiest and be able to play the longest so I can make the most money. And artificial turf is a non-starter for a lot of free agents. So when we talk about artificial turf, we're not just throwing it out there as some sort of made-up thing. It is definitely a factor. There's no doubt about it. I mean, if I was a baseball player, all things being equal, no way I'm playing in artificial turf. And if you want me, well, you're going to have to pay me $2 to $3 million bucks a year more to get me. And again, I keep getting back to something that J.P. Ricciardi understood, that there was a premium to signing free agents in Toronto. Doesn't mean your city sucks. Doesn't mean your fans are awful. Doesn't mean that, oh my God, I'm going to a foreign country. So I'm going to be playing in turf. There's a premium attached to that. Dan in Toronto, you're on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, as we continue our calls. One word to describe this season, and how are you feeling about 2015?
Good morning, Jeff. Great show. I agree with a lot of things that you said on your show and a lot of things that your caller said. I don't know if there is one word. There's probably two words because we were dealing with a team that basically had two different seasons this year. At the beginning of the season, I would definitely use the diction word of overachievers. Near the All-Star break and the latter half of the year, underachievers. I think what's why I wanted to call in is I'm a firm believer that, you know, I think the AA experiment, he's been on the job for 2 years now, I think it has to come to an end. I think when he had to make the moves, he once again showed, that he wasn't willing to pull the trigger when he had to. I mean, there were times when sports writers were writing, you know, it would be painful, but, you know, it might be the opportune time to trade away a Joey Batts, maybe even a Mark Burley. You know, he's obviously the star pitcher on our roster.
Well, I wouldn't say he's a star. Here's the thing about trading Jose Bautista. Let's just step back and think about this. If you trade Jose Bautista, look at what you're giving up offensively. Look at what you're giving up defensively. You're not going to get somebody to replace that because you're not going to trade Jose Bautista for another Jose Bautista. What's the percentage in that? So if you're going to trade Jose Bautista, you're probably going to look at trading for a pitcher. Okay, that's fine. But then how do you replace what Jose Bautista gives you?
And that's where a GM, a good qualified GM, would know to pick out those diamonds in the roughs and build up a team. I don't think you need the highest payroll in baseball to necessarily make it to the World Series. I mean, you look at Oakland A's.
Well, you don't. It's been proven that you don't need need the highest payroll in baseball to make it to the World Series or win the World Series. I mean,
right.
You just don't.
Right. So to my point is that's why I think AA failed. In regards to, obviously, you know, maybe making a trade, maybe, you know, finding those players that would obviously take us to that next level. I'm also a firm believer that I think Gibbons, when he was hired as the skipper, was the wrong choice as well. So I think in the off season, I mean, maybe it won't come from Toronto sports writers, but it'll definitely come from American sports writers. They'll say that the GM and the skipper are the wrong people.
No, it won't. They won't mention a thing about Toronto.
Okay. Well, I hope that local people will. Because, like I said, it sort of, I was sort of grinding my teeth yesterday when I saw Anthopoulos standing at the podium, and I was thinking to myself,
he was sitting.
He shouldn't be so confident that, you know, his job is so secure. And I agree with you. You know, a lot of GMs don't get the axe like they used to. But I think that for Toronto, you know, we might have to do another rebuilding process. I read an article recently, I believe it was in the Star, that Jose Reyes was talking about, you know, his trade from Miami to Toronto. And at first he was very disappointed, but then he accepted it because, you know, there's a lot of Dominican players here. But you got the vibe at the end of the article that, you know, there's that perception that, you know, a lot of these players want to play for a contender. And I can't see, you know, I'm pretty sure that I agree with you. I don't think Melky Cabrera signs with Toronto. I think Joey Batts will probably leave at the end of next season. And I wouldn't be surprised to see a lot of our other stars.
Yeah, he can't leave at the end of next season. They've got an option. Eddie in Fort Erie, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
How you doing, Jeff?
Good, man.
One word to describe the Blue Jays season, which is something I never thought I would say, and that is lost.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, I knew they were going to finish, you know, third or fourth or whatever like that, because I knew they were not going to be a playoff team. But the more that they kept winning and winning and winning, it's like, you know what, maybe they have a chance to win it all. But I think when they went to the West Coast and did not have a good August, I think that kind of, like, you know, put the nail in the coffin, so to speak, for them to, think, okay, we did good, but we couldn't, you know, close the deal. And I think being in a pennant race for the first time had a lot to do with it also. And now they got that out of the way. We'll see what they do next year. And I think this offseason is really going to be decided on what they do. I mean, do they add or not? Because sometimes you have a good, when you're in a pennant race, sometimes it'll make you say, okay, what are we going to do next, you know? We have it under our belt. Let's try to add it up, you know?
Yeah, appreciate the call, Eddie. Look, I don't... trying to figure out the word I would use. Somebody used the word confused about the offseason. I was trying to think, was it disappointing? Well, no, because this team finished where I thought they'd finish. Teasing, maybe that's a word for the season, because I think May was a real tease. Just think about what we were talking about in May. Think about how this market was going nuts in May. It was a real tease. I think that would be my choice of word for this season. It was teasing. And I've already said, I think they're farther along this year than they were last year at this time. I'm more optimistic about it. But bear in mind that last year I thought they were going to finish in last place. So optimism's kind of relative, right? Stephen Pickering, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning.
For me, 2014 was an above-average year. The reason I say that, my expectations was very low going into the season. May and June, they got me beginning to believe anything could happen. But by September, the thing that really got me going, I saw for once in maybe 10 years, the development of the young talent that was almost there. So I'm still on the bandwagon for my Blue Jays, but what I see is 2015 is going to be a building year. 2016, which is Batista's last contract year, I think that's a realistic expectation. And maybe that's why they're not going out trying to sign Milky that hard, because he AA really knows it's not next year, it's the year after.
You know, Steve, I don't know about that. I appreciate your point, but there's one thing I want to say about Milky as well, and it has to be said. It absolutely has to be said, because I can tell you that there's at least one team that assigned a scout to cover the Blue Jays for the past month, focusing on Milky. And the scout told me, you wonder what the Blue Jays know about this guy. You wonder what it says that despite having the type of year he had, there wasn't a serious attempt made to re-sign him. I'm not going to cast aspersions on Milky by any stretch of the imagination. But you know about his past, and you also know that this organization has way more information on him than we do. And I'm just throwing that out there, because it's got to, you know, it's you got to keep that in mind. There are a lot of organizations wondering whether or not to go all in on Milky. Paul and Lindsay, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Morning, Jeff.
Morning, Paul.
Like everybody else a couple of years ago, disheartened, I think, for the word for this year, by the way. 2 years ago, almost everybody thought Anthopoulos was the second coming because of all the wheeling and dealing. Even the odds makers in Vegas thought the Jays were going incredible places. I've been a fan since I heard they were getting a team in Toronto. So I've been around a long time. Has he done some silly things? Maybe, yeah. Does he deserve to be thrown under the bus? No, I don't think he does. I don't think you can blame Rodgers or other management for what's going on with the team last year, this year, or even next year. They've got tons of money. It's part of the problem. You can't control injuries. No team can. And the Jays certainly weren't the worst hit team with injuries this year. You know, Yankees and Boston come to mind. What I think part of the problem is no bench strength and no position player farm strength at all. I mean, the bottom third of their order really was a black hole this year.
Well, yeah, and it became a black hole in the season went on. Look, you're right about the lack of position players at the minor league level. But keep in mind that this is an organization that traded one of those position players, Jake Marisnyk, last year in order to get the deal with the Miami Marlins done. It traded Travis d'Arnaud last year in order to get, or to, well, 2 winters ago, sorry, in order to get R.A. Dickey. Those were the two position players that were sort of closest to being Major League ready. And Adani Hechavarria, ready to be a full-time shortstop as well. So let's throw him in there if you want him. So they traded three guys who were close to the majors, three position players who were close to the majors in order to pull off the deal with the Marlins and the Mets. And I keep telling people, you can revisit those two deals if you want, but I'm telling you, the Blue Jays would not have been any closer to making the playoffs if they didn't make those two deals. In fact, they'd be farther away from the playoffs because none of those guys they traded were of the caliber that they would help this team get to the playoffs. So you have to keep that in mind. But I agree, this organization has not done a good enough job of drafting and developing position players. Maybe that's starting to change with Dalton Pompey and Max Pentecost from the last draft. We're going to continue our Blue Jays discussion. Mike Wilner and Shai Davidi will join me. Hopefully they brought bagels. They promised me bagels. I'll be pissed off if there's no bagels. Send in your email questions for the lads. Again, my Twitter handle is SNJeffBlair. Use the hashtag Blair Show. We'll get the good ones on the air. This is the Jeff Blair Show, and this is Sportsnet 590. The